Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah's house. The king said, I'm going to give you a letter. And this letter, when you are in warring factions, Assyria and Israel, the king will give you letters for safe passage. This is all Naaman needed to make his route from Assyria to go see the man of God. But we get over in verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. He brought an entourage. It's one of these flamboyant people. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away sad. Indeed, he said to himself, and I'm going to paraphrase, do he not know who I am? I'm Naaman the Syrian. I'm the captain of this army. And I have whooped many people. My king is happy with me. And I brought my entourage so I can have a show about my healing. The king says, Naaman, here's the letter and go. Hey, boy, chariots, horsemen, get me some of that, some of those. Bring that. Line this up. That's not what he needed. The letter was the gold standard. He could have brought all of that. But without that letter, he might have started another war. He had his mindset like Frank Sinatra, I'm going to do it my way. I got to get everything like I want it, and I want a grand show. Because the Bible says, I thought he would surely come out and wave his hand all over the place and heal my leprosy. So my boy can see what's going on for Brother Naaman. All about him. One of them flamboyant brothers can't make a right-hand turn. Standing in front of his S-series Mercedes-Benz. Now, if you have one, it's okay to be blessed. Just don't stand there too long. I'm going to bop my horn. All right. So, this is Naaman. Now, if Tuck sends Stephen to come bring you a word, and I'm speaking on behalf of the senior pastor, and the senior pastor didn't show up, don't turn me away. He sent out his servant. A servant is somebody who's an understudy who is learning from the master. I know what he has to say because I live up under the authority of Tuck in this church. And if I show up on behalf of the senior pastor, you ought to receive me in that. Where's Tuck? Looking around. Why you sent Stephen up here? So he, come on now. So he sent a servant out. Naaman says, I'm a captain of the army of Syria. I'm the 4-star wearer. Can you send me an understudy? So now the men say, I'm like, oh, well, you ain't nobody, Naaman. So now you got to deal with all that. He had to ride back. You know, they're going to josh him the whole way. Brother, you with them socks on. Nobody even pitched into them clothes you wearing. With your fine clothes, he didn't even come out even look at it. He got all this nutted up, looking good. And didn't even get the man of God's attention to even look at him one time. Hey, look, go tell him something I said go do. But if the word is true that's coming from a servant, you ought to obey it. Amen? He said in verse 11, indeed, I said to myself, see that? I said to myself, he will surely come out and stand and call on the name of his Lord God and wave his hand over the place and heal my leprosy. I was looking for a Vegas show. And he goes on to say, are not the waters of Abana and Carphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Better. My way. Got to do it my way. Got to be better. Doesn't care about the blessing. His mind is on the show. Will anybody recognize me in the process? I'm lining this up. And if I have so much, what the Bible says, don't invite somebody to your party who can turn around and invite you to a bigger party. That's my paraphrase. We're going to get the preacher here in a minute. I'm just setting the stage. Could I not go wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant, I love this part, a servant came to him and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, the servant was wise enough to realize that what he told you to do was enough for your cleansing and salvation, but you wanted to do something great. If he said do something great, would you not have done it? Because it's small and you get no credit, why won't you do it? Would you not have done it? How much more then when he said to you, wash and be clean? So he went and dipped. So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Over in the book of Acts, in the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Now, how many of us have enough money to pay for our salvation? If you look back on your life and all the things you've done, some of us will walk out the door, all of us with our head down of any age. Maybe if you're the babies, you are right being carried out. But us adults would be pretty shameful. You're saying, well, Lord, this is what I've done. All I have is a few, whatever you're bringing, it's going to be insignificant. Won't be enough value to bring for your salvation. That's why Jesus paid it all. See, it says over in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. The plan of salvation did not involve us, except that we needed to be rescued from our sin. That was the only part that we played, was to be sinners. It's like being on a grand stage in Hollywood, and you're just an extra. That's all you are, just an extra. The stars are over here with all the talking lines. You ever seen the hospital scenes and they just walk by, don't look, don't watch the camera, and they walk by, playing the role, pushing a gurney, just extra. Jesus was already talking in his pre-time council with God about saving your very soul. He worked that out in the book of Genesis long before what he would do for us. You shall strike his heel, but he shall crush your head. Satan, you will be defeated. It was already won back in Genesis. Now, we got the revelation of the story through the Gospels, and it ended with the battle. Sword comes out, army dies, we cheer, wear white robes. That's it. We've done nothing. From the beginning, he was defeated. We got the stage show up front and closing. All our job was to put on white robes, sit and look. Bam! That's it. Hallelujah. Going home. But in the meantime, what do? See, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're going to go back over to the book of Genesis. I like the Old Testament. The Bible clearly says everything written in the old is written to teach us. We got to go back to the schoolmaster sometimes to understand the words that we're understanding today. We want to go to the Gospels only and leave out the schoolmaster. It's like going to college with no professor. I'm going to get an A every time, but I'm going to learn nothing. I need Tuck to teach me. I need Roger, all of the Bible teachers with the children, all those in the back. You're providing instructions. You're going overseas, Cindy. You're going out of the country, and you're doing those things to share. You at that time are the schoolmaster. You're bringing the bread of life to somebody who don't have it. Otherwise, Haiti might not get it, brother. So he flies over, takes his time with family on Christmas Day. A day after, flies over to go share in an austere, rugged land that somebody may come to see Jesus, that we care about you here in America. Our dollars follow us too. We believe in Rich's ministry. Send this ministry and all those who are traveling. Even in your home, there's a ministry. You are living epistles waiting to be read. Say something and won't a child pick it up? Say a bad word when they're like 1 and 2 years old and start to talking. Don't say that. They're repeating what they heard, schoolmaster. Oh, so you young parents now, watch yourself. They start working your nerves. Don't do it. But that child will come out and embarrass you. And we know where they learned it from. So over in Genesis, the 6th chapter, picking up in verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. That means tar. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it a cubic above, and set a door on the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And in verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Amen. All, exactly. So much so, I think there's a tour being arranged this month to go down and to go see what is to perceive to be the size of the actual ark. The church is going to go down to see that vast magnitude of this vessel that saved the world. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and starting in the first verse. If you're about title of the lesson this morning is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels was steadfast, and their transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us who heard him. You see, the question is actually rhetorical. I've been to college. Big old $1 word, rhetorical. It answers itself. How shall we escape? There is no escape if we neglect the very salvation laid before us only in Jesus Christ. The question answers itself. There is no escape, no mercy, no leniency. We do something wrong, we go to our parents trying to make the blow softer. We come out there and we say, well, you know, Dad, boy, what'd you do? Already we can see it on your face. You're trying to wash the car. You clean your room. The clothes are clean. You're trying to do something. You want to confess the story before somebody else tells it in their own way, so you can get it just right. Hey, First Sergeant, see, what happened was, those in the military, go to First Sergeant. You want to make sure that others don't say, you know what Newsom did? But what if there was no mercy, no leniency? And the Bible says, if your sin received exactly what it deserves, who shall be able to escape? The answer is none of us. No one. We have to receive the benefit and blessing and salvation laid before us in Jesus Christ. That is the only salvation. You see, Matthew 10, verse 33 says, but whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. We say, who believe in Jesus, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. to everyone that believes. And I'm a believer. There's a song we used to sing back in the Baptist church, and I won't sing it, but the bar said, "Yes, I'm a believer." And they'll go, "Wow, that thing," hands clapping. "Yes, I'm a believer, Jesus Christ." And the room will be sweating. Everybody will be clapping and singing that one verse. And if you leave out the door with one thing and say, "Yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I've done my job." Tuck's done his job. Everybody that's speaking about the gospel has done their job. I believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only chorus. This is how I do when you're not here, Tuck. I like having fun. Peter was getting ready to go inside the gate, and there was a man laying there. I'm sure we've seen the homeless. They sit outside of Walmart or other major shopping malls, and they have the signs, "We'll work for food, or hungry, we take out $5, or sometimes we drive past," or you might just have that $150, and you go, "Uh-uh." Or you may go break it and come back, or you may offer to go buy something to eat. I know it kind of tugs at your heart when you see him. And I think sometimes my own self, is that a scam? Is that a scam? Or is that really someone who's hungry, who's outcast, who needs some help? But Peter was getting ready to walk in the gate, and the man was there looking for alms. And Peter looked down with him and said, "Silver, gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." See, we need to walk up out of our adversity and don't let our past hold back our present prosperity. We got to rise up, church, and walk. See, we let so much stuff in our past cripple our future. Now, I'm going to get real with you now. I was molested. Now, y'all get quiet. Y'all know it's true. I'm not trying to get into your past. I don't even know your story. I don't know your pain. But I can tell you that happens. Things that made your life broken, that cripple you. Daddy slapped me upside the head and beat me. I was locked away. Or whatever that pain is that keeping you. You don't believe that Jesus is able to break that yoke of bondage. And Satan is trying to hold you in that snare that he has already won the battle. You have to let all that stuff go. There's victory in Jesus. You can't cross the finish line unless you begin to run the first step. That's what it's all about. When you can go back and say, "What you did to me don't bother me anymore. I'm not hurt by that. I want you to know that I'm moving on from that. Eyeball to eyeball. You won't run this life anymore. I'm a child of God. He's my leader. He's giving me victory over all my brokenness." So this man was down there for alms. All he could think about is, "Let me get a daily bread. Just give me a morsel. Put a dime in my cup. Maybe I can go buy something honestly because I don't want to steal." I remember when I was out in D.C. in Union Station waiting to ride the light rail because I was just on my little time when Philip goes to his mom. I get my time to be Stephen separately from Philip. So I kind of was down there looking around, enjoying the sight, looking at the cherry blossoms. And I thought, I'm going to ride the light rail. A man was getting ready to get on the light rail, was drinking his soda, and he took a sip or two and said, "No drinks on the rail, sir." He put it in the trash can. No sooner the cup hit the bottom of that trash can, a man that was really hungry pulled a top off that can, grabbed that cup, pulled the straw top off, and drank it. You don't know what that man had. That's somebody who's desperate for basic needs of life. So this man was looking for something. "Peter, what you got?" Now, I know we are of all economic standings in this church, and that's okay. But you're doing better than somebody else. I don't smell anybody. We all got some place to go wash. I see all the hairdos. Well, mine's done. But everybody got rid of Brother Glass spelled out with his ponytail looking all stylish. He got it just right. Got the breeze going down the center. Not off the left or the right. He took care of himself. He prepared to come be before the Lord this morning. He wanted to worship with his family and look his best. But when you're down on your luck, all you want is just a morsel of bread. But Peter comes to this person and offers him more than that. I don't have any money. I'm going to say it my way. Silver or gold. I don't have any money. But what I have is the word of God. It is more than enough to give you everything that you ever needed. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have an easy life. I'm going to remove the burdens. Toby Mac has a song that said, scars are a part of this life. Scars is a part of living. We're going to have scars. It is a part of living. It's a great song. I heard it for the first time a couple of days ago. I was like, yeah. And see, Toby Mac is a white guy. And you think he's an older gentleman, but he has an upbeat. His beat will get you going. Toby Mac will have you swinging your head before you know it. You think, get me wrong, church, but is he a brother? You think about that. But Toby Mac will have you swinging and his feet tapping. Oh, get it, Toby. What do you say? And I like Toby Mac. He brings it down real. He makes the song, you can feel it. You can relate to it. So, help me out, brother. Can you stay or die? Now, that person really needs that. And the last thing they need is for a name and type of individual to come and try to usurp their blessing by overshadowing it. Brother, can you spare a dollar? Well, here's $100. This ain't about you. The widow that came, that brought the two mites, Jesus said, look, she gave her earthly living, all she has from the heart. I received that. And all you wealthy people bringing all this money don't mean nothing to me. I own a cattle on 1,000 hills, chump. I got money. What you bringing me something for? I'm the one who gave you the money. You're going to return a little bit to me like you're doing me a favor. I ask you to be obedient and give your tithes and offering. Tithes may be an old word, but it's in the Bible. Break off that money. How about that? Let that pocketbook loose. Don't be stingy. This ain't about money now. I'm just making it real. So when it comes to giving, don't try to outdo the person who is really in need. Be grateful to their hurt and their want. But Peter brought the greatest gift of all. Brother, I'm going to help out your cause, but I'm going to help you to do what you really want to do. You want to walk up out of your adversity and not let your past dictate your future prosperity. All right. I have a 2-page sermon. We're like halfway through the first page. Sorry about that. I like having fun. This is the greatest job ever. You get to share with someone about someone who can save everybody. He has the answer for every need individually. Whatever we have, he knows it fully. He's just asking you to be obedient enough to bring it to him. A parent will tell a child, I don't know what you need. A father to a daughter and a son, us, I don't know what you need until you tell me. Now, we might know, and kids will come to you at 8 o'clock, and they need money at 8 o'clock. I'm going on a school trip. It's today. The bus is waiting on me. Do you have $40? Well, I guess you ain't going. All right. She's laughing. Must be true. Must be true. I'm just saying. Okay, Ephesians, the first chapter. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 for just a little minute here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Peter gave him the blessings in Christ. Get up. Pick up your mat. Rise up and walk. What I have is you don't want really silver or gold. That may help you. We need money in this world. We understand that. But man, don't work that a man shouldn't eat. If you are lazy, then you shouldn't have anything at all. The Bible makes that clear. Get up and do something. Verse 7 and 8 of the same chapter, first chapter of Ephesians. In Christ we are set free by the blood of His death, and so we have forgiveness of sins. How rich is this grace, which He has given to us fully and freely, God with full wisdom and understanding. And in verse 13 reading, so is it with you when you heard the true teaching, the good news about your salvation. You believed in Christ. And in Christ, God put this special mark of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit that He promised. Now that is a mouthful. When you get dipped in the watery graves of baptism behind this curtain, you're raised to walk in the newness of life, and you are dwelt with the Holy Spirit. That is the promise that you belong to Him. That's how He's just going to be for the angels to say, who's goat and who is sheep. If the Spirit of God resides in that person, go on the right side. If it does not, you've already made your choice. You have denied the only salvation. Got to make that plain, church. Verse 14, that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we, page turn, receive what God promised for His people until God gives full freedom to those who are His, to bring praise to His glory. I read this verse and I was so happy. Do you know, Brother Rich, that for God to give me the Holy Spirit and work out my salvation is purely to bring praise to His glory? I was like, wow, that was a flowing statement. You're doing all the work, I get all the benefit, and it brings you glory. Now that's a good deal. You go out to a car, the car is free, it's all yours. I'm gonna jump on that dude. Now we have the free gift of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is simply receive it. Believe in the words that come out of my mouth, but they belong to God. I am plagiarizing and stealing God's word this morning. I am not making up my own Bible verse. So what you're hearing is coming out of the word that's sitting in your lap. You have to believe it, receive it, and get your salvation. The car is paid for. Just take it off the lot. Now, some folk will say, that's a great deal. How about the Holy Spirit? I got to change my lifestyle. You want me to do something different? I need to behave a certain kind of way. You Christians, you see, we're broken. We're sinners. We need help. When I'm hurt, I go to the hospital. Now, some of you know I've been battling, and they've been praying for me with this indigestion thing that's been going on, and my wife, I kept her up one night, hiccuping and burping. Oh, my God. She was like, Steve, I could get no sleep. You were just going. Now, she don't sound that way, but I'm just doing my voice. I'm preaching. And she knows, she was just going. I couldn't get no sleep. I was, So I went in and did the imaging, lit up my body with all that barium stuff. They said, look, Mr. Newsom, this is your heart. I'm like, no, doc, don't want to see it. Thanks. And they carried me down to Langley, and they knocked me out and gave me the scope, did all that, and said, look at the pictures. Okay. She was like, this is that part, this is this part. I'm like, I'm glad you know all of that. Thank you. Don't want to see it. So I thought I was good to go. Took my little pill, feeling pretty good. Poor wife. Steven, you all right? Nope. Keeping her going all night long. Woke up, sleep. Honey, I'm sorry. The way we just don't know what's going on in these bodies. But to receive the full assurance, get up, rise up, and walk is a guarantee. God has made it a guarantee. They may not figure out what's wrong with me, but I know where I'm going if I have to leave here today. And that's what it's all about. We're not worried about these vessels. We're going to lay down these earthen vessels. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me bring some news to you now. What you're wearing, your biological suit, you're not taking it with you. It's going to stay where it came from, right down here. God has something new in store for you. No pain, no hurt. You're going to look good. You want the muscle? You want to lose some weight? You want to be like Rick Richards' height? Whatever. You're going to look good. You're going to feel good in your eternal heavenly body. He has prepared a place for you. He says, if I go, I shall come back and receive you unto myself. I'm going to go do all the work. Just come back. Look for my Holy Spirit in you. If you have my Spirit, I'm going to snatch you up and take you to your mansion so you can be flamboyant. And all your glitz and glory, radiant the Father's glory, praising Him, the worshiping, the giving Him all the... That's going to be a glorious day. The land of endless day. I got time right now. Okay. I got this promotion I'm talking about. I was like, all right, cool. The job started out being one thing. All I had to do was be in charge of Stephen. Go to my little new office with the door. And type on a computer. And go home. That was it. I'm like, great, promote me. Get the job. And then by making you a supervisor by 8 people. You got to start traveling now. Oh, wait a minute. What's up with this bait and switch? Wife been seeing me coming in the door. What you doing? Dragging my work home. I didn't feel like sitting there anymore at my desk. 10 o'clock at night, I'm still typing on the computer at my house. Kids going to bed. I'm still typing. What's going on here? One guy told me, well, you see, Stephen, all money, I'm going to use some slang here, all money ain't good money. You know, you get the little promotion, you get the little name on the door, you're thinking you're somebody. I'm somebody now. Everybody knows me. It's just crazy. But see, I have a promise of rest, a land of endless rest. I'm looking forward to 6 more years where I can retire and join Richard and all the rest who've laid down this job and work of their world. That means I'm getting up there. Let it be when I retire, 43 years of working since I was 18 years old. And 6 more years. That's long enough. And I'm looking forward to working here with Tuck and Roger, wherever God so send me, to come preach the gospel, to stand before a body of believers, so I can be a clown and have fun because I enjoy this. I get to share the good news, the gospel. 30-some-odd years having all the fun in the whole world. Thanks for one day, brother. I really appreciate it. And 2 Peter, verse 3, verse. Go down, Stephen. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Church, say any. That means he don't want anybody to perish, but that all, say all, should come to repentance. That includes everybody on this blue marble. And they said, what about Jesus' promises? Is he going to change his mind? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and reads, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, Tuck talked about one time that is scandalous. How can somebody hang on a tree and purchase my pardon? I don't sound right. The cross is a scandal. That's a hoax. That can't be true. You kill somebody and I'm saved. Wait a minute. Doesn't even sound right. You drag them out of the garden. You give them a trumped up trial. You put them on the cross. You stick him. He's bleeding. He's hung and he's died. You verify that he's dead. You throw him in the ground and I'm saved. What? What kind of story is that? It's called the gospel of your salvation. But Jesus won't change his mind. When he won the victory over in Genesis, striking the heel and crushing the head was our victory. We get over in Revelations, sword, white robes, home. That's it. Everything in between is your journey. There's that woman. Keep it real.
Crossing the street, I look over and see her, and Aren't you already juried up, buddy? It's going to be a trial by jury if you're hold up. You better get right. Now that preaching the true gospel, see, even in the church, I already said in my lesson, you know there's people that tossed in the other side of the fence, going where you ought not go. You got a spouse already. You made your goodly commission in front of the church. Let not no man put a stumble. Hang on to what you got. You good thing. Put a little water, put a little fertilizer. That means some love. Learn the five love languages. Those of you that were doing that class, hit your club. Learn the five love languages. If it's ministry, ministry. If it's help, help. If it's charity, charity. If it's whatever. And after a while, she'll start to block spin up. Getting a little perked up. Those are getting a little sharper. Hair start getting a little cold. Put a little makeup on for you. You'll go, whoa! All this while, that was you? Hey, baby. That's me. But it's easy to let your eyes cause you to see. You look over me like, hmm.
I put a little truth in fun, but it's real in the church. Yeah, I don't care if all the people on, but I'm doing it. I'm on point number 2 on page 2 out of 8 points. Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm almost done, church. I've got time for us to go. Ephesians. Let me get back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It pleased God, verse 21, by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. You simply have to believe to receive your salvation. He made it very simple. Believe and receive. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened or made us alive again together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now Tuck may say, and I may say, Roger and all the rest, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of Paul. I've already told you, how many times you go to your child and explain the same thing until you get tired of it? Exactly. You got his grandson, boy. Okay, fine. Boom, boom. What happened? Like, let us hear the story. About a 10-year-old
in the backyard of his grandmother's house. There was a piece of plywood and a cinder block. And my uncle's father was right there. My grandmother seen what I was going to do. I set the cinder block up, took the plywood, and that's a nice break. If I get just enough speed, I can jump this thing. He says, I was starting to say, Junior, you know when the light is on the outside, inside the house is dark, and you can't see it, they can see out? If he was looking at me, okay, cool. Don't jump that ramp, grandson. The cinder block fell. My feet came off the pebble. I hit that crossbar. Laid there for a while. She didn't get up. She didn't come see about me. I put that cinder block down. I put that plywood down. I put the bicycle down. I was good to go. I learned the lesson the long way. So without all that to say that after you have received the gospel, don't leave here if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. These words of mine are not my words. They're coming from the Bible. He's using my experience and my stories to get you to see that all of us need Jesus. The salvation will be clearly yours to harness for yourself. And at some point, I pray God you share it with someone else. Okay, now time for the rest of the story. That means I'm on my last two verses. We're going to go home. Luke chapter 4, verse 27 says,
And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet. But none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. He brought that whole story back. The one that decided to be flamboyant, but decided to cut all that stuff out, lay aside the world, and receive his cleansing, is the only one that was cleansed while there was a man on the ground as powerful as Elijah. Elijah, fiery chariot, here's the cloak, double energy, I'm here, I'm preaching, one man received salvation. Quite a message the Bible is preaching. He believed and received. And all of Israel, you notice that? Not the Syrians, all of Israel, the chosen people, nobody was cleansed of the leprosy. With the man of God, tuck standing right here, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, nobody comes to Christ. He goes across town, preaches a message, the guy gets saved. That's what it's talking about. These are God's words. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. What Naaman's story is kind of clear. When I got my salvation from being a knucklehead, I was always just like that. I was a knucklehead. If you don't understand my past, you can't appreciate my praise. That's why I get excited when I'm up here. I want the word of God. I want to see you smile. I want to see you look up. I want to see you have a good time hearing the word of God. Because you know, Brother Hayward, where I came from, what my walk was, what I had to go through, that now that I'm a child of God and saved from all my sin and dead work, that I was arrested. So now, you might judge me if you do my story. He said, I have forgotten those things. You are now a clean child. Woman caught in adultery. They didn't drag the man out. They were going to stone her trying to trap Jesus. Jesus said, drawing in the sand, where are your accusers? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. That's all he's asking. I'll clean you up. I'm propping you up. My spirit is inside of you. You can do this. Satan on one side, I've overcome Satan. Over in Genesis, I've already won the battle. Don't lose hope. Walk the good fight of faith. Last verse. I'm all sweaty in my head. Shiny. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 reads, for Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Now, you can't tell me God won't save the one. How many does it take to be saved before the angels in heaven rejoice? Naaman. 8 souls were saved as through baptism, Noah, wife, 3 boys, wife. That's it. He will come for you if you're willing to receive him individually. He cares about you as a lone person to save you if nobody else listens. You are just that important to him. The message is made clear. I will save the one, I will save the 8, or whosoever will, the Bible says, let them come. Verse 21, the like figure whereinto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. For by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone in heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He gets the capital K. They get the small K. Capital L. Small L. That is our Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, there is no other reason why you should wait. I cannot save you. I can only share with you. It's up to you to walk down this morning, meet me, one of the ministers, one of the elders, or somebody else. Bring your brother with you and say, I want to be a child of God.